welcome to another episode of the Hoop Talks Live podcast. I'm Mitch Robson here on a very hungover Sunday morning along with Sean Woodley. Sean, how are you on this hungover Sunday?
I'm good. I'm in such a rough shape that I forgot to hit record on my backup recording over here, so maybe you should just start it again.
Wow.
Just for future reference so we can have the start of the podcast properly recorded.
What a great, great time.
Are you recording your side? Yeah?
I am.
Okay, we should have talked about this before we went on. This is fine.
We'll just stick with this.
Yeah, we'll just stick with this. This is it's what happens when you do a live podcast.
It's pretty great. It's almost fluid. Like a behind the inside the actor studio kind of thing.
It's very inside baseball. Yes.
Yes. Extremely. Speaking of baseball, have you watched any of the World Series?
I've watched like some of it. Honestly, I've just been watching a lot of basketball, so I haven't really paid attention. And I've checked out like the important moments, I suppose. But yesterday, the whole Yuli Gurriel thing kind of put me off the whole thing, and didn't really watch yesterday. But I'll watch the remaining games, I'm sure.
All right. Yeah. What NBA player do you think would make the best baseball player?
Oh,
besides, you know, just picking LeBron because he's an athlete.
Well, Aaron Gordon looks like Aaron Judge, so
okay, yeah,
maybe it's Aaron Gordon. Bad. Yeah, just for going into something like an aesthetic thing. I'm trying to think of like a short player who could go like Isaiah Thomas. Is he the Jose Altuve of?
I could see that.
Yeah, or like or Fred VanVleet, perhaps.
Well, you know, another short player who's kind of on the outs with his basketball team right now and might have to make that switch is Eric Bledsoe.
This is true. Oh, you've just dove right into here. You didn't even like intro ourselves.
Wasn't that a great? No, but just let the segue breathe. Okay, I thought about it as we were doing this, and it's pretty perfect.
Okay, sure. I was going to also throw out Pascal Siakam. I know this is Raptors heavy, but he's so fast. He'd be like Juan Pierre. Back in those Marlins days, yeah. Pascal, Juan Pierre Siakam, just a little slap hitter. But
you think Pascal Siakam could steal 50 bags?
I mean, have you seen him run the floor in transition? It's startling. He's a fast person.
Yeah, I mean, a real Ricky Henderson of himself. So, anyways, back to Eric Bledsoe. If you are somehow living under a rock, I think it was it last Sunday now when he tweeted out, "I don't want to be here."
Yeah, we're a little bit out of date because we were supposed to record this earlier in the week, but it works. It's still a thing. He hasn't been traded yet or anything like that.
Yeah, it feels like it's been longer than only a week that this has been going on. But Eric Bledsoe tweeted, "I don't want to be here" on Sunday, and then was called out by his GM, Ryan McDonough, about it, and then said it was a hair salon. He was at the hair salon with his wife. So do you call BS on that, or do you believe it's true? Because after many childhood trips with my mother to the salon, I can tell you I would definitely tweet, "I don't want to be here."
Oh, the salon is very bad. It's not a place you want to be as a child. I mean, as an adult, I don't know why Eric Bledsoe had to go to the salon with his wife. That's like my first question.
Were they doing a Costco trip after, maybe?
Yeah, like when my girlfriend gets a haircut, I don't go with her to go like while she gets her haircut. It's like a long process. So
exactly.
I don't buy it. That's the question. No, I don't buy it. I think it's bull. And I think that's fine. Like, Eric Bledsoe's in a crappy situation. They have, like, actively pretty much just said, like, "You're too good to play basketball for us, so sit down." They did that pretty much the last third of last year. And I understand why he'd be upset. And they lose 48 in the first game of the season. They lose, like, 30 against the Clippers in the third game. I'd understand the discontent on Eric Bledsoe's side of things. Maybe there's a way to go about it, but like, I don't know. It seems like maybe he's painting the Suns into a corner where there's not much leverage now because they know they have to trade him, but I don't know. I have no problem with it really, per se. Like, it's fine. And I understand where he's coming from.
Oh, I love it. I mean, like you said, they shut him down at the end of last year. He's paid to play basketball and he just wants to play on a somewhat functional team. So I'm happy he owned up to the tweet and I'm happy it's still up. And I really hope McDonough makes a move because there's a lot of teams around the league right now that could use someone like him.
Yeah, who do you want to see get Bledsoe?
Honestly, I think the Cavs could really use him, even though we probably don't want to prop up another team full of dudes. But
I just don't know how they make a trade. They don't have anything to trade at this point.
What if you went Shump, Nets pick, Fry?
I don't think Bledsoe is worth the Nets pick.
Really?
That seems crazy to me. That Nets pick is like the bridge to the next era if LeBron doesn't stick around. So why would you want to
think that Nets pick is going to be top 10.
Yes, it's going to be top 10. The Nets are going to be bad. Let's like they're fun, but they're going to be bad. They can't play any defense. The Magic
Damari
just scored 125
points. Damari Carroll is an all-star. What are you talking about?
The Magic just scored 125 on them this week, man. Like, they're not going to be good. They're, what are they? Like 2-2?
I think they're 3-2.
They are currently 3-3. So
yeah, and I mean, the Magic are one of the better teams in the league.
This is true, but there have been bad teams that, like the Lakers last season, started 10-10. They were awful. They were not a good team. The Nets will come back down to earth, I'm sure. They can't play defense, man. No Jeremy Lin. I don't know.
Peak Damari Carroll is back, though.
Yeah, that's
saving my
that's
fantasy season.
Sure to last.
I'm all in on the Damarissance. So, back to the Bledsoe tweet. We thought about this week for our segment, folks. We are going to come up with some other players who might send out a quote-unquote salon tweet.
Yeah, or like players we'd like to send out a salon tweet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like ideally, we would like to see them play on another team elsewhere, and this would be the way to go about facilitating that move.
Perfect. Let's get us started, Sean.
Okay, number one for me, and this is going to get me murdered by basketball Twitter and everyone who loves the NBA, but I'm anxiously waiting for the Giannis Antetokounmpo salon tweet asking you to Milwaukee. I know. It's awful because the Bucks are fun, and like Bucks Twitter is really fun to deal with and like very chill. They were like a treat to deal with during the playoffs last year before you have to like go to the Cavs and play the Cavs and deal with Cavs Twitter. The Bucks people are very nice. Their bloggers are nice. The team is cool. Their jerseys are amazing. The floor designs are awesome. The fact that they have the Mecca court is pretty cool. Those jerseys they wore.
Yeah, I didn't understand the Mecca floor hate. I thought it was very cool, and everyone complaining about it being too colorful can, you know, shove
it. Or, you know, not a floor built in 2017, instead it was a floor built in 1960, according to some people.
Yes, you know, Earth's flat and floors are old.
Yeah. no, so, what was I saying? Well, so with the Bucks, the thing is, like, I want good things for the Bucks. I just... You know, Kevin Arnovitz wrote the piece this week for ESPN talking about the Bucks and how they're trying to go about building a team. And, like, having Giannis kind of makes it so you can make a certain amount of mistakes and still be fine. And, like, you can still sort of cover up for them. It's very much like the sort of mid-2000s Cleveland Cavaliers teams. Like, LeBron was so incredible that they were still able to get to finals and stuff and deep into playoffs despite the fact that the rest of the roster was kind of trash. And the Bucks, for me, just... I'm worried that they're already kind of behind the eight ball in terms of building a roster that will perfectly complement Giannis. Like, I like Chris Middleton. I like Tony Snell, even. And I like Malcolm Brogdon. And Thon Maker is pretty good as well. But after that, I mean, there's some questions there. There's some questions as to how far Brogdon can develop from here. There's questions as to, you know, is Maker ever going to put it all together? And beyond that, like, there's just, like, a lot of dead weight on the roster. And it's, like, on the team for, like, multiple seasons to come. And I'm just concerned that we're going to get to, like, the Anthony Davis kind of thing with Giannis. And, like, they came into the league, like, 1 year after each other or 2 years. So, like, they're kind of on the same trajectory. But I think we're kind of seeing right now, like, you've seen, like, late in games with the Bucks, they're having issues scoring. Their offense isn't great. Their defense remains kind of weird. And Jason Kidd is a reason why I'm kind of picking Giannis for this as well. Like, it's just a strange roster that doesn't seem to complement Giannis very well and doesn't have enough talented players to really sort of keep a player like that, you know, give him a good enough team where he can carry them to really great things. And I just think they're kind of limited in terms of what they can do to improve the team. Greg Monroe's been like pretty decent for them, but he's gone after this season, and I don't think they're going to bring him back. And then you have that like chunk of money that you got to spend somewhere, and they're not a team that's going to go over the tax. Zach Lowe talked about it this week. Like, they're just not going to go over the tax. They can't afford to, and that's troubling because, you know, we've seen it in the past. Teams that don't want to go over the tax, like the Thunder, for example, end up, you know, sacrificing, you know, maximizing their roster in lieu of saving money, and like teams have to do what they have to do. They have to have their own budgets, but I'm worried that the next few years for the Bucks, we're going to see like Giannis doing incredible things, like being close to winning MVPs, maybe winning MVPs, but the rest of the roster won't be enough to hack it, and we're going to see him sort of fall short in playoffs, and there'll be like a narrative growing around him or some garbage like that. So I just want to get out in front of it and have Giannis ask for a trade like tomorrow, and he can end up on a team that has a little bit more of like a built-in structure, because like he came into the team And they didn't really have like a direction for the first couple seasons he was there. And then all of a sudden he's this incredible player, but they're kind of stuck in terms of having a bunch of guys on the roster like Mirza Teletovic, John Henson, Matthew Dellavedova. Like that's $30 million between those three players. So that's why I'm concerned about the Bucks and concerned about Giannis's future there and why I'd like to see him go. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you make a compelling case right there. I think that they probably didn't realize he was going to get this good this quickly. And that's why a lot of those contracts now look terrible, because he is ready to make that next step into superstardom, but the rest of the roster is kind of lagging behind. It's almost like a watered-down 2006-7 Cavs situation, mm-hmm. where it's just Giannis in the LeBron role dragging a bunch of these guys. Greg Monroe is Drew Gooden, and Brogdon, to an extent, is his Larry Hughes, as sad as that is. But without that secondary scoring, with Parker always seemingly out for a long period of time, and him not being Giannis, that is, at the point where he's able to consistently make the three-point shot and have guys to kick out to, you're right. In the late games, there's just too many breakdowns, and it's really just one guy trying to slice through everyone himself with no reliable help.
Yeah, so yeah, I'm just not sure what the blueprint or the sort of roadmap for the next couple of years is going to be for them. And I mean, you can always kind of figure things out, I suppose, and you know, dump off contracts and give up picks to do so. But you put yourself even further behind by doing that, because a team like the Bucks, they're a team that should be capitalizing on draft picks in order to have young players to complement Giannis, because they're a team that's not going to go over the tax. So I just kind of see like a cycle of them not being able to fill out a proper roster around him, kind of already building, and it's troubling to me, and it bums me out, because Giannis is incredible, and I want to see Giannis be like the next great player who just like goes to seven straight finals, but I think the roster could be a little bit limited in that, so that's my concern there. And like, just think about what the team would look like even if like they hadn't made stupid trades and gotten rid of or picked up like Grievous Vasquez for picks that became OG Anunoby and Norman Powell. Like, they just do dumb things, and that every little thing chips away at how effective you can be at roster building, and I'm worried that they're already a little bit too far behind, and it's a bummer.
100%. Now, speaking of teams that do dumb things, specifically if we're talking the medical staff, let's move over to the Philadelphia 76ers. And there's a certain big man, now a vegan, walking through a Whole Foods, and he decides to just pull out his phone and tweet, "I don't want to be here." Free Jahlil Okafor is my first candidate here. We saw he's only gotten into one game so far this year against the Toronto Raptors, and mm-hmm. I was at that game with former Twitter superstar, NBA writer on the come up, Kevin Young,
who yep.
did say that with his new body, he looked like a young Tim Duncan.
Huh.
So, with that in the back of my mind, I think that, like that SB Nation piece that ran a few weeks ago, he doesn't feel like he's part of the future process. He's sort of been left out to pasture by the entire organization and the staff, and he's just a guy. Now, we've heard rumblings earlier this week that they're trying to work on a trade mutually. So I hope that he ends up on some kind of team that has a shortage of big men and could really just let him go and finally see what he's able to do with 25 to 30 minutes a game.
Yeah, I mean, that's a really good pull. I'm still not sure if like Okafor is good at basketball. He was really good like with Duke, I suppose, and won that national title. But look at me pulling college basketball references.
Shocked. I'm shocked.
Proud of me. no. But yeah, no. I think it still remains to be seen if he's like good enough at basketball for this really to be like a thing. Where if he were to get dealt somewhere, you could sort of pencil him in for a bounce back. Because like his defense is bad, and you know, while he sort of flashed in college, you know, an ability to sort of pass out of the post, we haven't really gotten to see that in practice. And I also kind of worry about how like stifled his development has been, because he hasn't been on the court all that often the last couple seasons with Philly, through injury and through just not really being a guy that they want to go to all the time there. But even then, like I say that, and like when the Raptors played them last weekend on Saturday, like there was like a couple plays where Ja got the. He got the ball and like made a nice little move and scored a bucket. And I was like, who the hell is that? Who's this? And, oh, it's Jahlil Okafor. Oh, awesome. So, yeah, like I guess there's some potential there. And there's still obviously talent and enough talent that he was a top three pick. But I'm not sure how much of a bounce it would be if he was to go to, say, I mean, what even team could he go to at this point? There's so many big men around the league. Like, do you have a team in mind?
I mean, we've kind of heard before Nets and Bulls. I don't really know how that would go, especially with the Bulls now kind of committed to Rolo getting his numbers and Lauri Markkanen looks legit. Yeah. So I don't know if he would really have a role there any more than he has now, maybe just being the first big off the bench. But You're right. I mean, there's.
They have a tendency for their other bigs to punch each other, so can't hurt to have some insurance.
I mean, if the Mavs are all committed to this tank and benching Nerlens Noel because they don't want defense late in games, I think Jahlil would fit in quite nicely there.
Nerlens Noel is bad. Why are we giving the Mavs all the bad former Sixers bigs?
I mean, if they're all in for the tank, just take the Sixer rejects. I think that's a perfect recipe to get a top five pick.
It's just the market for bigs. Like, we went through this all summer. There's just no teams that have, like, desperately need bigs. The Nets, I think, though, like, that's a team where, like, they are still without picks, and they're still a couple years away from having picks, and anytime they can get a talent, I think they should probably dive into it. So why not go headlong into the 2014 draft and just get Jahlil Okafor to go along with D'Angelo Russell? I could get on board with that.
That wouldn't be too bad. I think if...
Was that 2015 or 2014?
I believe it was 2014. If you're the Nets, what do you have to lose if you can trade a cheap second rounder down the line for him?
Yeah. And this is bugging me now. It was the 2015 draft. That's where Towns went first overall. That's right.
Right.
Anyway, that's good on the ball research by Sean. Wanted me to do my second one?
Yeah, hit me.
Maybe Dirk Nowitzki sending out a tweet. Just
you are crippling the emotions of people
I know,
around the world.
But like, my emotions are crippled because the Mavs are just an awful basketball team right now. And Dirk isn't like good anymore. I think that's kind of past. Like, he was good as like a role player the last couple seasons. I think it's kind of passed him by now. But still, I'd like to see Dirk like have one last kick at the can. I read this thing, I think it was by Tim Cato on SB Nation, ranking the Mavericks, like Dirk's best Mavericks teammates since the title team in 2011.
Oh, wow. And that's gonna be a sad list.
Number one on the list was Harrison Barnes. That's how dark it's been there and how just like unable they've been to build a roster around Dirk. And while it's nice and the whole play your entire career with one team thing is like cute and fun and, you know, loyalty, the fake sort of illusion of loyalty is still kind of existent there. I would rather see him go somewhere else to have one last kick at the can with like a real basketball team. I'm not sure exactly who. I know it definitely is not going to happen, but I'd like to see him play for a team that doesn't suck and just even just to be like a bench warmer, like put him on like the Wizards for like a stretch drive and just have him be there and have him be on a real basketball team and not a clown show like the Mavs are this season. Dirk has done too much to be just like watching Dennis Smith figure out how to be a point guard.
I was very worried when that W sound came out of your mouth. You're going to put him on the Warriors bench, and I thought end this podcast right now.
No, I would never do such a horrible, heinous thing. That's that's terrible. Do you agree with me on my Dirk take?
I mean, I think he has the title in the back pocket, so I mean, you don't need to make the ring chasing argument per se. It's very rare now that we get the full lifer with one franchise in pro sports, which is the way guys bounce around at the end of their careers. But I think Dirk has definitely tried to make that commitment that he wants to be a one team only guy. Mm-hmm. So even though this season's just going to be a run of the mill, maybe 20 to 25 win season, I'm not really sure if he wants to uproot and make that move.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, it's Dirk has a title. He doesn't really need anything else, I guess, from his career. Like, he's already probably one of the top 10 or 15 players of all time, best European player of all time. Like, he doesn't need to add any more to his resume to stay there, but I don't know. I'm just bummed out watching Dirk play for this awful team. They're so bad. They're so bad.
I have not yet watched a full Mavericks game, and I think I've made the right decision.
Yeah, you're onto something there. Mm-hmm. what's your second one?
So my next guy is going to be a certain tall Latvian getting in the elevator, coming down from the penthouse, go into the Knicks facility in Westchester and lining up against a big tandem of Joakim Noah and Enes Kanter, where he pulls out his phone after Joakim Noah once again cripples to the floor. Excuse me. Cripples to the floor with another torn ACL, and Enes Kanter can't stop anything on defense and just tweets at Phil Jackson, even though he's no longer even a team employee. I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
I think we're at that point. I mean, no matter how well or how badly this Knicks season goes, he's still fed up with the management. They're committed to a bunch of bad contracts. I mean, Tim Hardaway's making $73 million to average 9 points a game. There's really no future plan still. Ntilikina finally had a nice game, but I think it's going to take at least a year or two for him to get fully accustomed to the game, become a legit point guard. And he's already had tension with the organization to begin with. I think he's going to want to win a lot quicker. He's not going to want to slug it out on 30-win teams in the East, and he could definitely ask his way out, especially if they don't talk extension with him.
Yeah, I Kristaps is so good, man. It sucks that they don't know how to build a team there. And it's like the Giannis thing to an even greater extent, although he's less of a trend.
It's a pretty good
comp than Giannis
though.
Is. But yeah, it's or I think it's probably the better comp is the Anthony Davis thing.
Mm-hmm.
We might get into Anthony Davis on here. Or Boogie Cousins, who is just incredible. My God, Boogie's amazing.
Except winning basketball games. But
yeah. No, I think the thing with Kristaps, I can't really add any more to it. It's just he is too good for a team that doesn't know. I don't think they really appreciate what they have in him and like how lucky they are to have him after drafting him fourth overall and like the first draft pick they've had that's like going to be in line for a second contract with the team in like ages. And I don't have much to add to it, man. Kristaps is in a bad spot. He's really fun, and it sucks that he's being sort of suppressed by how crappy that team is.
It almost feels like we're at a point in the league now where every young star is sort of on a team that either doesn't value them or doesn't value the guys around them and are just stuck in a really bad situation, which I guess is kind of a bigger picture debate, which leads to these super teams. But I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's kind of like the bad organizations are like feeding into these super teams because at a certain point, the clock runs out for you with that superstar. And then free agency happens or a team is ready to make a move and they can just sort of load up on all these, just kind of take advantage of all these crappy organizations. And yeah, it kind of feeds into it. And so, yeah, you saw it with Paul George, you saw it with Jimmy Butler even. I hope we don't see it all the time because I kind of like the isolated star thing. Like if there's a lot of teams that have them, it's really fun because you get like a lot of good playoff matchups and stuff like that. But yeah, it's bad teams. Like just there should be like a stipulation. I mean, not like a relegation thing like in soccer, although I would support that probably, but because it's awesome. But there should be like a time frame for like an owner to prove that he's not a dumbass and for like a GM. I guess the owner kind of just determines who the GM is and whatnot. But like there should be like a time frame in which an owner has to show that he's not really bad at this. And then if he doesn't, he just loses the team.
I agree with you. It's sort of like when you hit over a certain age that you have to take the driving test every 2 or 3 years, right?
Yeah.
It's just like a competency thing. I think that should be some kind of policy maybe instituted.
Like, there's a reason you can only have two-term presidents in the United States. And
just
we're
adopt
the,
that rule for NBA GMs and front
we're
office
We're seeing
personnel.
The reason right now. I'm sure the comparables between the current president and a lot of NBA owners are pretty similar. So, I'm okay having term limits on owners if they suck. I mean, in Canada, you can be prime minister forever if you're really good and people like you.
Man, I mean, I think so MLSE has been pretty good and, you know.
Yeah, it's a nice, love rooting for that multinational corporation. It's lovely.
Always got to root for the underdog.
Absolutely. All right, my last one. I really, really hope Kevin Durant tweets something from his burner account saying he doesn't want to be here anymore.
Oh, wouldn't that be juicy?
Because chaos is amazing, and the Warriors, in their existence, kind of limit the amount of chaos that can happen in the league because they're so just inevitable in every game. There was that game against the Raptors this week where they were down 5 with like a minute and a half left. They went on a 10-0 run in a minute and a half and won. There was the game against the Wizards this week where I believe the Wizards at one point had a 93% win probability and ended up losing to the Warriors because that's what they do. And any sort of dissension in the ranks among the Warriors would be fantastic. And if KD were to accidentally tweet from his burner account, which we all know to be a burner account at this point, if he was to tweet, "I don't want to be here, I miss Billy Donovan," or something like that, I feel like that could at least sort of give us the illusion that maybe the Warriors are teetering a little bit, even though they'll probably still figure it out and be amazing, because that's what they do, and everything just comes up Warriors all the time. But yeah, I'd like to see the chaos that a Kevin Durant tweet would cause.
Where do you think Kevin Durant would want to go for his next chapter?
Well, of course, the Wizards.
Of course. Yeah. How could you pass up the chance to play with John Wall and Bradley Beal?
Yeah, no. Would he go back to OKC?
with the current setup, I mean, maybe.
I'd actually like to see him on the Knicks. The Knicks need a star to pair with Kristaps, as we just alluded to. And if KD were to go to the Knicks, that would be kind of fun. I'm kind of secretly hoping LeBron goes to the Knicks next year. He'll still be in the East, and that'll be bad for everyone in the East. But I think LeBron on the Knicks makes sense. I always thought that was what was going to happen before he went to Miami anyway. I feel like LeBron playing at MSG would be incredible. But if it has to be KD instead, that's fine too, I suppose.
Well, speaking of my next tweet, let's stick with LeBron Raymond James.
Ooh.
Come driving out to Akron after another loss tonight at the Q to those very same New York Knicks, because J.R. Smith couldn't hit a three. Jay Crowder has just been a disaster. There is no functional point guard to speak of. Ty Lue doesn't know what his rotations are still. And he just decides to pull out the phone after a bottle of rosé with Savannah and tweet, "I don't want to be here."
Now, is that just in relation to being in the city of Akron? Because I can get on board with that.
Now, having never been to Akron, I can't slander it unknowingly like you have, sir.
I've driven through Akron before.
How was it? Was it notable?
It was gray.
Yeah, I mean, very, very rust belt. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, Ohio as a whole is very gray. That's how I would describe it.
I think that if LeBron was to tweet, "I don't want to be here," he's going into full-on banana boat mode, and Gabby is making calls to make sure him and Dwayne get out of Cleveland together.
Yeah, Dwayne's just going to hitch himself to that wagon, huh?
Oh, 100%.
He's not good anymore. He's just so washed.
It's very sad.
He's as washed as I am. That is having the moniker Washedly, I think it's
correct.
It's a pretty lofty standard I've set, but Dwayne Wade's there, man. He's not good anymore.
The Cavs
are weird.
Yeah.
There are going to be a million think pieces about how vulnerable the Cavs are, and this might be the first year where it's sort of relevant.
I think it's almost at a point where they're too old now. Like, there is zero young players on that roster to try to give an energy boost and kick things up.
Hey, Chetty Osmond is kicking around, man. Just wait till he gets his shot.
Just give him his shot.
Yeah. Yeah, I would like to see LeBron ask for a trade. You want to talk about chaos? LeBron asking for a trade at the deadline?
Oh, I'm here for it.
Would it be in the Cavs' interest to do it?
I think it would.
Like, you get to the deadline, the Warriors are 70-8, or on pace to be 70, or that's not even the right math.
No, it works. You know what? They played all their games before middle of February, so Kerr can rest until the end of April.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they're on pace for like 78 wins, and like the Cavs are looking at it. They're on pace for like 48 wins or something like that. Like, they're fine. They're coasting through. It's whatever. You're still expecting them to be the best team in the East, but you get to the deadline and LeBron asks for a trade, kind of reading the tea leaves and seeing that he can't really beat the Warriors. And instead of wanting to add another loss to his finals ledger, he instead wants to just get traded to avoid that finals.
I didn't even think of it that way.
Well, there's that, but also from the Cavs' perspective, it's okay, the writing's on the wall here. LeBron's going to leave, and we should probably try to get something for him, no?
See, that's what I think. I think that this team, they brought back all LeBron's boys. Dwayne is there. He got Jay Crowder, another perimeter defender. They got rid of Kyrie, so there was no locker room drama. But there's just a lack of buzz when you watch this team. It's just like they're all defeated as soon as tip-off happens. They know it's not going to go well. No one's got their head up. They're just kind of playing lazily to a degree, and I think that Dwayne Wade was definitely not the answer. I don't know if LeBron thought he was going to be the answer, but I think it's clear.
Nor was Jeff Green or Derrick Rose.
Well, no, I can't. Jeff Green's actually shockingly been good.
Yeah, that's what he wants you to think. This is how it works with Jeff Green. He ropes you in with some good stuff, and then he becomes Jeff Green again.
Maybe this is the season Jeff Green becomes a legit number two option.
Yeah. Oh, God. I think it's actually, like, a fascinating... Like, it's not obviously not going to happen, because the Cavs aren't going to, like, forego a chance to go to the finals, but it might, like, in theory, make more sense for them to trade LeBron in season than just let him walk at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at it from an asset management standpoint, that's exactly what
you do. Yeah, that's the smarter thing to do. Obviously, they're not going to, and this is a silly conversation on a silly podcast. A very good podcast that you should subscribe to, rate, and review on iTunes, by the way. But
ooh, nicely done.
Yeah, but I'm a professional, Mitch. Come on. But yeah, it would be a fascinating thought experiment if they were to be confronted with the idea of, you know, maybe there's an injury on the team, maybe Kevin Love gets hurt or something, and they're looking at like not being anywhere close to up to the Warriors' standards.
I mean, not even up to the top of the finals. Yeah, maybe not even to the top of the East standards.
Yeah, I feel like they'd still make the finals because LeBron in the playoffs, we always underestimate how ridiculous he is. But like, I don't think there's anyone fooling themselves into thinking the Warriors are going to lose to the Cavs this year.
No, if the Warriors lose, we all know it's going to be to one of those teams in the West.
Yeah, or to, you know, the Toronto Raptors.
Exactly.
Or the Milwaukee Bucks, apparently, because everyone's anointing that ass roster.
Just length, you know? Length wins.
Yeah,
gotta have length.
Not who needs talent when you're long?
You don't need to shoot when you can just block every pass.
Yeah. All right, yeah. Do you have one more, do you? Or what's up?
No, that was LeBron was my third.
Oh, that's right. Okay, you want to do the Hate Watch of the Week?
Sure, let's go on to it. So, you know what? You called this game bad off the top, but we're 2 for 2 at least in our Hate Watch of the Week in terms of close games.
Sure. I would argue that the fact that the game that we watched for this week's Hate Watch of the Week, it was a bad thing that it was close because that kept you watching it longer.
That's,
and it was
ooh,
dreadful okay. basketball.
I mean, where else are you going to get a David Nwaba 15-11 in 23 minutes off the bench?
Good Lord, man.
That's
why is yeah. So this game was Hawks Bulls from Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
I spent my birthday watching this game. That's
this is a matchup.
What I did.
Juggernauts.
This is what I do for you guys. I spend the day of my birth watching Hawks and Bulls.
You're a true glutton for punishment.
Absolutely. So the Hawks started in this game. Malcolm Delaney, Kent Bazemore, Mike Muscala, Torian Prince, and Dwayne Dedmon. You would think that's a bad starting five.
That's not. Then, that's got some NBA talent.
Actually, what is the better starting five? Is it that one, or is it Justin Holiday, Robin Lopez, Jaren Grant, Denzel Valentine, Lauri Markkanen?
God, that's tough, actually.
I think it's the Bulls.
Yeah, I was like, about to
Lopez
say.
Lopez is the best player there.
With the way Markkanen's shooting the ball right now.
Yeah, he's the best. Yeah, Markkanen's the best young player out of that group. And, I mean, unless you like Prince, but I think Markkanen's probably got higher upside. And then Lopez is the best player all overall.
Yeah, Kent Bazemore's just a lot of energy, but
yeah. So yeah, of course the better team did win this game. It was 91-86 for the Bulls as they picked up their first win of the season. These are just awful teams. So here's some of the lines from this game if we want to go through these. Malcolm Delaney, he started, played 35 minutes. He was 3 of 11 for 6 points, 0 of 3 from deep, and a minus 15.
Good looks, though. Good looks.
Yeah. Jeez. Kent Bazemore was 7 of 19. He led the team in shots. Again, a problem when the two leading shooters in this game are Kent Bazemore and Robin Lopez. He had 16 points on 7 of 19 shooting. 2 of 5 from deep, so that's good, I suppose. And he was a plus 3, the only plus in the starting 5 for the Hawks. Torian Prince was 1 of 7 for 3 points. Marco Bellinelli took 16 shots in this game and scored 23 points.
I was going to say, don't you dare forget the player of the game.
And 4 players on this Hawks team are not NBA players, or at least 3 that played. Josh Magetti, didn't know he was a thing. Is that is he related to Corey Magetti?
I mean, I don't even think it's the same spelling.
Oh, yeah, I think there's like
one less G.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Luke Babbitt apparently is still kicking around in the NBA. And Isaiah Taylor, who I don't quite remember. He played for Oklahoma, is that correct?
Either Oklahoma or Texas. Yeah, he played at Texas.
Okay.
He had a nice dunk once. That was all I remember.
Who was the one that played? Oh, Isaiah Cousins? Is that the guy?
Yeah.
Okay.
Look at you just dropping college knowledge.
Man, that should be a segment.
November 10th.
Sean's college knowledge.
That's a hit right there.
Yeah, John Collins had a nice game, I suppose. But yeah, this is an awful team. And on the Bulls, some other good lines here. Robin Lopez was 8 of 19. Denzel Valentine, who I think is very bad, was 3 of 14. He had 11 points, 9 boards, 5 assists, but he's not good.
Shoot through it.
Yeah. As you mentioned, David Nwaba had 15 points on 5 of 8 shooting. Good job, David Nwaba.
I read a lot of tweets this week that David Nwaba is the hardest playing player in the NBA.
Yeah, that gets you real far, Reggie Evans, people of that ilk.
Don't
so
you
much.
Dare talk down to Reggie Evans.
I'm not talking down to Reggie Evans. He's not listening. I'm sure.
Carried me through the lockout season.
Yeah, Jaren Grant was 2 of 7. Lauri Markkanen was 5 of 13. Like, good God. So the two teams shot. The Bulls were 36% from the field in this game. Mm-hmm. And the Hawks were 39%.
Don't you love a good old-fashioned rock fight?
Jesus. The Bulls were 7 of 32 from deep.
But the Bulls only had 2 points from the mid-range. So that's like 21st century basketball.
Is that actually a thing?
Yeah, I'm on the ESPN box score right now.
Oh, wow. I'm on the Basketball Reference, which is
46 points in the paint for the Bulls and only 2 from the mid-range. That's Morey Ball porn.
Yeah. As it turns out, Morey Ball only works if you have good players. poor Ryan Arcidiacono. I saw him lose his backup job to Kay Felder in the season opener. It happened in real time. Arcidiacono got the first run as the backup, and then instantly Kay Felder came in with his Kevin Hart-looking ass and just dribbled all over him.
Goes to show you that national championships don't mean a thing.
And hey, Kay Felder's doing well with his job as the backup. 2 points on 1 of 5 shooting in this game.
Used his 4 fouls very well. Stopped the Hawks when they needed to be stopped.
Yeah, so this was a very bad game. We should come up with like a ranking system, like a rating for how bad these games were. Because like, I feel like that first game we watched, what was it, Nets-Pacers?
Nets-Pacers was a
very good game.
It was like a 9 out of 10 in terms of entertainment value.
Yeah, it was like 9, I'm trying to think of an interesting unit of measure that we could use. Yeah.
You could use
probably
watts.
Should have done this beforehand.
Yeah, if watts. You want to go electricity.
Well, no, I was thinking something like silly. Not like in a,
look
not
at me.
Like,
I'm trying to be scientific.
Yeah, no, we're not measuring joules of entertainment. No, I would say like 9 steaming deuces out of 10
wow.
kind of thing. But I guess.
But then would the steaming deuces be good? Because
that game, game would be a 1 out of 10, the first one we watched. So this one, the Hawks Bulls, in which no team could play any modicum of offense, there were. It was 39-37 after the first half.
2004, what up?
Yeah, hello, Pistons from 2005. so this game, I would say, was like a good 8 steaming deuces out of 10.
Yeah, I think if you were going
to... We'll come up with a less gross way to describe the game.
It's an upper decker, for sure. if we're talking about steaming deuce.
So should we get to next week's Hate Watch of the Week?
Yeah, what are the candidates this coming
week?
So
I sent out the poll this morning. Thanks to anyone who voted. So the candidates were Monday, the Pelicans play the Magic. That did not win because apparently those two teams are fun and good. The Pelicans have been way more fun than I think you gave me credit for thinking they would be, by the way.
Well, it's because Anthony Davis was out, so my theory remains true.
Well, there's like a Ewing theory thing?
When Anthony Davis is out, that team is way more fun.
Huh. I mean, they were pretty
fun
yesterday.
You get full reign Boogie.
Boogie against the Kings this week was just unbelievable.
It was an absolute show of dominance. Did they end up winning? I didn't make it to the end of that
game.
They
did, yeah. They came back. They won like 114-106.
Wow.
Because
they were down a lot in that first half, and I was just chuckling to myself.
Yeah, I had a good time watching that game. But the game against the Cavs, both AD and Boogie were playing and healthy and fun and good and putting up crazy numbers. So.
Well, I mean, the Cavs are just discount Brooklyn Nets, so
yeah.
Let's not get too excited.
It's not Orlando-New Orleans. Only got 20% of the vote. It's very clean voting here. The other tied for second place in the voting was Detroit and the Lakers, which I thought was going to win.
That
this one's on Tuesday
night. We know your Piston hate.
Yeah, I was certain that was going to win because that's an awful game. Only 20% of the vote. The next one was Sacramento-Boston, and this only got 20% of the vote as well. I'm trying to sneak Boston in there. I feel like they're going to win one of these times because they're not really that fun.
No, it's a lot of Kyrie.
Yeah, and like Jaylen Brown missing shots.
And Daniel Tice.
Yeah, they're not fun.
Starting center.
Yeah, so that didn't win, though. The winner of this week's Hate Watch of the Week takes place tomorrow night. The Denver Nuggets visit Madison Square Garden to play the Knicks. We've talked about the Knicks on this podcast. We've not talked about the Nuggets, but we did last week, if you want to listen to that podcast, where I made the bold proclamation that Denver's not going to make the playoffs. And I think they're living up to it. They look like shit.
Yeah, I mean, they're 2-3 playing the juggernaut of the Nets tonight, my favorite team in the NBA. So, I mean, if they take a loss to Brooklyn and the New York Knicks in the New York swing, that's a recipe for falling to 10th in the West.
Yeah, they're not impressive. They need Eric Bledsoe in some kind of way.
Yeah, I've seen that
thrown
around
a
ton.
Podcast together.
I mean, it's everyone's favorite center, Nikola Jokic. Whoop-de-doo.
He's been pretty good, I gotta say. He puts up nice numbers.
Kristaps is going to eat him for lunch on defense.
Millsap has been kind of underwhelming there.
I think he's a little lost for what he's supposed to be doing.
The altitude is really getting to his old, weary lungs.
Yeah, it's not quite ATL.
No. They've been disappointing, and they have too many forwards. We went over this last week. The Nuggets are weird and not making the playoffs.
Shout out Emmanuel Mudiay. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Shout out to, what has he done? He doesn't look very good.
He had 19-8 the other night, his first good game in 2.5 years.
First good game since he was with Guangdong.
CBA legend.
Yes, soon to be CBA legend as well. In the next couple of years, I would guess. I wonder who has his returning rights?
I'm not sure. I mean, if we want to go it the other way, the Nuggets could really use Stephon Marbury right now.
Ooh. Yeah. Can you do like interleague trades? That would be fun.
That would be, maybe that's next week's podcast.
Yeah. Oh, okay. We'll get into this. Give me some Sergio Yule, baby.
All right, guys. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in. If you tuned in live, hope you enjoyed a little Sunday morning hungover basketball talk. If you're listening on a recording, hopefully you enjoy our voices whenever you get a chance to tune in this week. Sean, what should the people watch out for from you this week? I know you're a content hashtag producer.
Yeah, so I have actually a really fun episode of Locked On Raptors coming out on Monday with Corbin Smith, the host of Take It or Break It. We talked about the Blazers and Raptors and how they've been oddly linked through history, usually with the Raptors doing dumb things that help out the Blazers. And I'm writing about that as well. Ooh. On LockedOnRaptors.com, so you should check that out. It's very fun. And yeah, this is daily on LockedOnRaptors.com. You'll find podcasts, you'll find some posts and Facebook Lives for Raptors HQ, all that good stuff.
Nice. Well, look out for Sean's stuff this week, guys. Thanks again for listening to the Hoop Talks Live podcast. Have a good week.